Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and go to Galilee. There they will see me.' When the women were on their way, some of the guards went to the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.' This is the word of the Lord."
Good morning, church family. Good morning. I'm not sure if you had your coffee or yet, but it is a good morning, actually. Praise the Lord. And thank you, Pastor Steve, Pastor Aaron, for the invitation to be with our church family today, to worship with you and to spend some quality time by God's grace together as a church family. I want to praise the Lord for the worship time. It was a good time, and the kids, the children, when they are jumping like crazy, I love how they are doing. I'm still wondering if our church here still, Forward Baptist Church or Forward Pentecostal Church or Penta Baptist Church. But you know what? This vibrancy is good. I love it. So please encourage your children always to sing. And when we are singing with them, when we are clapping, dancing, blah, 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 so they can see that this place is the place where the joy of the Lord is here. And they will be able to jump and to sing to the Lord and to have a fun in his presence. And that's good. I love that, Pastor Steve, Pastor Aaron. I praise the Lord for that. I truly appreciate your leadership in creating new ways to see the generations, generation after generation, love the Lord, worship the Lord Jesus Christ. As a family, today we planned to be together, Rula, myself, but unfortunately, Rula couldn't make it. Our youngest, son, Jonathan, 19 years old, he just came yesterday from Borden, where he's doing his BMQ, and he's spending just 2 days with us. So I'm driving back home after the service immediately. I asked the permission for Pastor Steve and just to be with him. And today also we are gathering together Robin, our oldest son, and the family to spend some quality time together. I truly appreciate your prayers, always the tons of prayers that you are praying for us. We appreciate our church family here, the way that you are always sending resources and supporting us as a missionary family. And I want to say something here. I want to praise the Lord for your generous heart and your support toward our family. With you, we are able to serve the Lord overseas in Middle East and North Africa, and even though here in Ontario and Quebec in the church planting ministry. Our regional director, Tom Haynes, sending his greetings. He loved the church tons, knowing that he loved, you know, Steve and Aaron big time. You're so precious on his heart, and he's praying. Pastor Tom, myself, and all our leadership team, we are praying for you guys. We're praying for the church family here, praying for our five central churches always. Today, by God's grace, I want to share with you from the Word of God some encouragements from the Great Commandments from Matthew 28, 16 to 20. And for that purpose, and thank you for the reading, I will read again one verse when at, you know, the verse 19, when Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, 20, to obey, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And surely, surely, the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, Jesus himself, I'm with you always." Praise the Lord. This is the reason why we are singing today, why we are worshiping today, because he is with us. This is the reason. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Amen. Beloveds, there is no question that we are living in the end days before the second coming of our bridegroom, Jesus the Lord. Critical questions remain. How ready is the bride? How ready is the church? How ready is Forward Church? How ready that each one of us, how really we are ready to meet a Jesus when he will show up? And I feeling that by the Spirit of God, I'm not sure if that will happen today or tomorrow or a month or 2 months from now or a year from now. We don't, nobody knows, but it is really near the second coming of Jesus. How much we are really ready to meet Jesus when he come back? And how really we are preparing not just ourselves, but how much we are preparing the church, how much we are preparing the bride for his second coming. I'm not sure about you, but every time I'm reading this passage, which is the Great Commandments, every time I'm hearing the voice of the groom Jesus entrust his disciples, entrust us, each one of us, the mission of preparing his bride for the glorious day. If we look closely to this passage, we will see that there is a couple instructions there. Lovely instructions that the Lord entrusted his disciples to prepare his bride. Instructions that helped disciples back then, and by God's grace, I hope that will help me and help you to prepare the bride well for his second coming. In this passage, there is a call for you and me, and this call is inviting each one of us to prepare the bride of Christ for the glorious day. And the first thing that we see that Jesus wants us and wants his disciples, he wants us to be sure that we are preparing the bride to be an active bride, to be an active bride. For that reason, he said, "Go, go." And when he said go, Jesus wants us to be sure that we are preparing his bride to be an active bride. In the Greek format, go, periomme, means to transport, moving something from one destination to another, or to lead over, or to carry over. It means also to embark upon a journey. Jesus said, go. And when he said, go, he is saying, I want my church to adopt a go-go attitude and to cultivate a go-go habit. This is what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus wants us to prepare an active bride, and every day, each one of us, we are adopting, we are cultivating, we are somehow creating this habit and cultivate the go-go habit and the go-go attitude. But we are facing lately a big problem among our churches. I'm not talking about our church family here, but we are facing really a big problem among many churches around us, that for the last many couple decades, the churches somehow, they created an enclosed four walls church. And the four walls church is the opposite picture of what Jesus wants from his bride, wants from me and you to be. He wants us to be an active bride. Dear brothers and sisters, an active bride is a bride that lives with a go-go attitude and habit. A bride that is on non-stop journey to deliver the gospel day in, day out, every day. It is the bride that's shouting hallelujah inside the walls and outside the walls. The bride that receives the gospel inside the walls and go outside the walls and spread the good news of Jesus. The bride that pray inside the walls, but when the bride goes out of the walls, the bride is on mission to feed the needy people, to take care of the widows and orphans, to reach out to the souls around us. It is an active bride. This is the original plan for every church. The original plan for you and me to be an active Christian, an active disciple of Jesus, to be sure that we are preparing an active bride. I'm here today sharing with you this lovely message and sharing with you the call to prepare the bride, because one day I met with a lovely woman. This woman used to live in the neighborhood where I used to grow up, and she was a widow and with six children. And this woman, her name is Selwa, actually. I'm not sure if I shared that with you before. I grew up in Lebanon, born and grew up in Lebanon from, you know, Middle East and North Africa area. And I used to grow up in a zone war, okay? So during the zone war, on daily basis, when we used to prepare ourselves to go to the school, at 5, 6 a.m. in the morning, my alarm always was a missile hit in our neighborhoods or something like that, a bomb or explosion happening, because we used to live in this zone war and for 17 years. And in the same neighborhood, Selwa, with her six children, she was a tough lady, swear a lot, drink a lot, smoke a lot. She used to do a lot of trouble with the people in the community. So if Selwa, she's coming from this door, you have to run the opposite way. You can't talk with Selwa at all. You can't. She's a strong woman. One day, all of that stop. Instead of cursing, Selwa start to praise the Lord. Instead of shouting things that scratch your mind and heart and feelings, she start to share Jesus with the people down the road. If you are meeting with Selwa down the road, she will look to your eyes and with a big smile will say to you, Jesus loves you. Wow, what happened? Salwa was, in every day of her life, meeting the people down the streets, greeting the people, meeting the people, and share about Jesus who changed her life. I used to meet with her a lot. She used to look to my eyes and say, "Bishara, Jesus loves you," with a big smile. And one day, a missile hit her house, and she passed away. And I was so angry from God, why he allowed that to happen. And I used to fight with him. And I used to say, "Hey, you know what? I don't want to follow you. You are not just. You are not faithful. I can't follow such God. I don't want to follow you." And I used to battle tons. I was 17 years old, without hope, searching for meaning in life. Many questions in my head, living in a zone war. There is no hope. There is no future. Everything dark in my life. Broken. But one day, I start to remember her smile. And I told myself, why I'm battling against the God who changed the life of Salwa. And I decided to go to the place where she used to go. And this place, a small Baptist church. People that holding a prayer meeting in our neighborhood. We used to say, "Oh, these Jehovah's Witness people." Because we used to say, "Uh-oh, these guys, they are a cult." So I went there Tuesday evening, went to the small room where they were meeting and praying. Three people were in the room. And when I entered to this room, I felt that there is something peaceful in this place. I felt the presence of the Lord in this place. And that night, the Lord saved me by his grace. And the Lord became my hope, my joy, the reason why I'm living and spreading the gospel. But Salwa, still that person that always I point to, because she was having this active attitude every day, sharing the gospel with the people across the area. The Lord wants us to be sure that we are preparing an active bride, the bride that carry on the gospel and share the gospel everywhere. Also, the Lord wants us to prepare a reproducing bride, a reproducing bride. And what I mean by that when the Lord said, "Go and make disciples of all nations," the Lord, in his design for his church, he designed the church to have a reproducible womb. The church reproducing disciples day in, day out. This is the original design for any church. The original design that God created the church, his bride, to have this reproducible womb. The Lord's plan for Forward Church and for every church is to be a family of God, the bride of Christ, that grow and multiply every day. I want to praise the Lord for the program, the discipleship program, the 8 sessions, 1-hour sessions for 8 weeks. That's a great program. And I really encourage everyone of this church family to be part of this group program, because we are all disciples that we need to grow in Jesus and mature in Jesus. Because when we are growing and maturing in Jesus as disciples, we are able to make disciples who's making disciples for God's glory. The disciples took this commandment seriously. When the Lord said to them, "Go and make disciples," they took it seriously. And if we look at the book of Acts, we see there that, you know, I'm not sure, I will not do this exam for you today. So, as you know, the book of Acts is 28 chapters, yeah? Okay, who said 30? 28, 30, 27, 26? Okay, let's stick to 28, okay? Okay, who knows? Okay, here's the question. Are you okay to question the people from? Okay, let's do that. So, so the 28 chapters, how many years the 28 chapters do you think that cover the life of the first church? How many years the 28 chapters cover? 15, 20, 30, 40, 60. Come on, help me out. Come on, guys. Don't be shy. Come on. Zero? Who said zero? Okay, lovely answer. I love it. Yes, I know. It is, you know, it's we are in the 29th chapter right now, so I agree with you somehow. So how many years? Guys, come on. Who said 30? 30. 33? 32? So the 28 chapters covering the time frame of the first church, 30 to 33 years. But if you look closely to the book of Acts, you will see that the first 8 chapters covering just 1 year. 1 year. And why I said that the disciples, they took it, you know, seriously, because when you study the first 8 chapters of the book of Acts, you will discover that in these 8 chapters, there is a tons of miracles that happened in Jerusalem. And the Lord not just raise up disciples, but the disciples grow by the power of the Spirit and by the power of the Word of God, and they start to spread the gospel like crazy, and the Lord used them to make disciples who's making disciples for God's glory. Their story in the first 8 chapters, it is an amazing story. And I trust the Lord, and I pray the Lord to the Lord that to see Forward Baptist Church to have the same experience of Acts 1 to 8. The experience where the church in Jerusalem grow like crazy. Let's say, let me give you an example. In chapter 2, in chapter 2, 41, we see that Peter preached the gospel and 3,000 people converted to Christ. You still remember that? And we called this level of discipleship, we called it born-again discipleship level. Why? Because every disciple of Jesus Christ has to be born again. I can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ without knowing Christ, without accepting Jesus as a Lord and Savior. I'm not sure if someone dragged you today here, or you're coming alone, or you are visiting the church family. If you didn't yet decide to follow Jesus, to give your life to Jesus, this is a good day to do that. It's a good day today to say, Jesus, I don't have hope. I lost the hope in hoping in people. I want to follow you. And you will start your journey as a disciple with Jesus. So, born again disciples. And then in the same chapter, Acts 2, we see that there is something else happened. They asked Peter and the apostles, okay, what do you want us to do after, you know, being saved? What is the next step in this discipleship journey? And the next step, Peter asked them and said, he said, hey, after repentance, you have to get baptized. So they get baptized. I'm not sure how they did that in Jerusalem. But, you know, 3,000 people were baptized across Jerusalem. That's crazy. And then we call that this level of discipleship, baptized discipleship. And then they start to devote themselves to the teaching of the apostles. In Acts 2, 42, they start to be devoting their life to the teaching of the apostles, praying together, fellowship together, and break bread together. And we call that level of discipleship devoted discipleship level. And then between the verses 43 to 47, we see something important happen there. We see them that they start to follow Jesus, not just by devoting themselves to the church family. They start to give generously. Worship every day in the temple, and They used to meet at the houses across Jerusalem. Something started to change among God's family. And then we see something happened so important in Acts 5:42. The scripture said that day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. They start to sow the seeds of the gospel. They didn't stop on the level of devoting themselves or following Jesus simply. They start to share the good news every day. And this is what happened yesterday, and I want to praise the Lord for that. Yesterday, Forward Baptist Church gathered together 40-ish young people from the age of 6, 7 to the age of young people in 50s and 60s like me. And we went out and we spread the gospel together. We visited 9 streets, 20 couples, 2 by 2, 2 by 2, booth 2 by 2. We were knocking on the doors, doing door-to-door ministry, praying with the people. And guess what? 67 houses, they opened the door for us. We prayed with more than 35 people. We prayed for them. We prayed for their families. We prayed for the people in the house. And then we shared 11 gospel messages. My heart's prayer to see not just the 11, to see the 67 houses for Christ by God's grace. This is where the believers, the disciples of Christ, stand up, grow, and start to sow the gospel here and there. But the story never ended here. We see another level of discipleship that happened in Jerusalem. We see that there is a new generation of sowers of the gospel, but those sowers, they understand that in their discipleship journey, they can't stop there. They can't stop there. They have to live as disciples every day with Jesus and with the people of God. And guess what? They understood that their mission is to spread the gospel. But the other mission is to live on daily basis discipleship, not just as lessons we took in a church among four walls, but our life is a lifestyle of discipleship. Every day we are living as disciples, and people, they are watching us. People, they are watching you. People, they are seeing Jesus in your life. People, they are noticing that your life is different. Your life is lovely. Your life is really amazing. But I praise the Lord that this amazing life, it's all about Jesus. And by God's grace, we are able to start disciples who's making disciples for God's glory. You know what the Lord said in Acts? In Acts 6, 7, and 8, mark it, please, in your book. The word of God said, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Do you want to see the religious people in our area to come to know Jesus? We have to go out by God's grace as disciples of Jesus and spread the seeds of the gospel everywhere. Religious people, they need Jesus, guys. I don't want to name names, but there is many religious leaders in this area. Politicians, people who they are serving the community, who they are in the community and the social sectors, business people, leaders, who they are living among us. They are all wants to know Jesus. When I was sharing yesterday, with Christine Aaron's wife, you know, sharing the gospel. You know, the guys, I was looked to the other opposite side of the street, Haley and Elijah, and Colette, I'm a French guy. I'm not sure why I'm. My memory is really devastating. They were knocking on the doors and sharing about Jesus. You can't believe that? 14 years old, man and woman, dum-dum-dum, they open the door, sharing about Jesus. They want to pray for the man or the woman who they are opening the door. And with Christine, what we did on our side of the street, on this side, Gutter Street, we have a bunch of businesses. So we were entering to every business place, sharing, you know, try to connect, build a bridge, and pray for the people. Told them that we are here to bless you. We are here to pray for you. And guess what? The Lord opened a couple good doors for us. In the laundry mart, we were praying for a lady, maybe 7 years old lady. She was there. And we were praying for her. When the church of God trusts Jesus and obey Jesus and answer the call, we are all, by God's grace, part of this active church, the church that able to reproduce disciples day after day. And in that way, we can see the glory of God shining out across the area where we are living. My pastor used to say to me, he's with the Lord today, his name is Michael, godly man of God. He used to say, Bishara, if the people, they don't come to the church, let's take Jesus and the church to them. If the people, they are not coming to the church building, let us take Jesus and the church to their houses where they are living. Let us take the good news of Jesus and spread and sow the seeds of the gospel in the hearts of the people who they are living in the area here. I was overseas traveling with 5 crazy young leaders, pastors from our fellowship family. We visited Egypt and Lebanon during October, and during our trip there, the Lord blessed us to do and to meet with the Druze church and the Kurdish church, and for a couple of days we hold conference and for the Druze church and the Kurdish churches in Lebanon. I want to praise the Lord for your prayers for Middle East and North Africa, because the gospel is bringing tons of fruits. We are witnessing thousands and thousands of Islamic people who's coming from the Islamic, converting from Islamic background to Christ today. Many people, they are accepting Jesus. This picture here is one of the churches that we trained and equipped the leaders of the church. It was a great privilege to meet with dozens of godly young leaders who they are from Islamic background. They used to live in the dark of Islam, and today they are living in the light of Jesus. Praise the Lord for that. And all of that happening because the church of God, the churches like your church, like Forward Baptist Church, decided to go out of the four walls and to obey this great commandment and to say, Jesus, we want to prepare your bride for your glorious day. One day we will be worshiping for eternity with Kurdish people, with the Druze people, with Shiites people. We will be worshiping with Muhammad and Hussein and Fatima. We'll be worshiping with South Asians and Pan-Asians and Brazilians and Canadians and Americans and Europeans. Will be worshiping forever and ever Jesus. But the church has to stand up and say, yes, Jesus, we want to prepare your bride for the glorious day. The Lord wants us to prepare an active bride. When he said, go, and the Lord wants to prepare a reproducing bride. When he said, go and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them by the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Beloved, there is a secret that I want to share with you today about the church of God. The church of God is a beautiful church. The church has a beautiful heart. And I love the eyes of the church because they are the eyes of Jesus. When Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, Jesus wants his church to be a visionary church. Jesus wants the church to have his eyes. Because when the church look to the nations around us, in Toronto, in this community, in Ontario, in Quebec, in Canada, in Middle East and North Africa, the church see the nations from the eyes, the beautiful eyes of Jesus. The Lord wants us to see the nations around us and how much they are desperately need the gospel. And more of that, more important than that, Jesus wants his bride eyes to have the ability to see beyond the mere appearance of the things. She has the ability to see the people around us are living in death, spiritually death. The bride is alive. Amen? This is the bride of the church, of Christ. But the people around the church are spiritually dead. And they are in desperate need for the life and salvation of our bridegroom, Jesus the Lord, who is the only Savior. I love the story of Moses and Aaron. A plague in Numbers 16, 46 to 50 in the book of Numbers. A plague hit among God's people. We've heard from the children today how they were complaining, blah, blah, blah. And how the God's people were complaining that God brought them out of, you know, Egypt. And they are, you know, somehow suffering in the wilderness. And they were accusing Moses and Aaron days and night. What you did for us? Why you brought us here? We were fine in Egypt. We were eating some meat. Eating some burgers there. McDonald's was there, I do believe. They were complaining, and the plague hit among God's people. And God said to Moses, hey, listen, enough means enough. Let me do my job. And Moses, by his lovely heart, he said, God, please save your people. Give my people another chance. So Aaron and Moses, asked Aaron to do something. He said to Aaron, take your censer and put incense in it, along with burning coals from the altar, and hurry to the assembly to make atonement for them. Wrath has come out from the Lord. The plague has started. So Aaron did as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly. The plague had already started among the people. But Aaron offered the incense and made atonement for them. Verse 48, a miracle happened. He stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. When the visionary church stands between life and death and go out and stand there and pray there for every house, for every soul. And the Lord opened our eyes to see what's going on behind the doors. Behind the doors, there is broken families. Behind the doors, there is young people who they are lost without any meaning in life. And we start to intercede to the Lord. Lord, take off the plague of sin from these families. Help us, Lord, to show every people who they are living in the plague of sin and who they are moving toward this eternal death. Help us, Lord, to show them your love, to show them Jesus. Jesus wants us to prepare active, reproducing, visionary bride. I will conclude with two quick ideas. You might feel that, I'm not the right person that you are preaching for me. No, I can't go out. I can't simply share the gospel. You know what? You are this crazy guy from Lebanon originally, coming to Canada 17 years ago, and maybe you feel that this is your mission, but this is not my mission. I can't do that. You know what? I have good news for you today, church family. Bride of Christ, the good news that Jesus promised every one of us, every disciple, he promised you and promised me. If we obey his voice and say yes, because this is what he asked the disciples to them, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. If today the Lord somehow speaks to your hearts and you feel that, yes, Lord, I want to obey, but I can't. I can't. I didn't do that before, and what you're asking me to do today, it's something new. I can't do that. You know what? I cannot do that either. I cannot do that. But when I obeyed the Lord, he empowered me by his promise. I will be with you always. I'm with you. I'm not just saved you and brought you to your church family, but I'm living in you. I will empower you. I will make you a brave disciple, a bold disciple. And when I will work in your life and empower you by my living word, and when I'm empowering you by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will give you a special wisdom and special boldness in order to go out and share the gospel. You don't have to be afraid, because I'm with you always. When we were outside yesterday, I told my brothers, we are not following the chicken of Judah. We are following the lion of Judah. Amen? For that reason, we're able to do that. Hey, where's the sound, guys? There is no sound? No? Uh-oh. No sound. Okay? Once again.
Two, three. Come on, guys. Hey, come on. Seriously. One, two, three.
Guys, each one of us, we are following the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you are able in Jesus to be that disciple who's growing in faith day after day and spread the gospel and share the great news of Jesus. And day after day, the Lord will bless you with many souls. They will come to know the Lord when you are sharing the gospel of Jesus with them. I want to go to the last, to Selwa. This woman, she's my mother, actually. I used to give her tons of hard time. I used to be a naughty young guy. We lost our father during the war, and I used to work to grow up angry with no meaning. But when the Lord changed my mom, she started to spread the gospel all over the place. And I saw a Jesus in her life. So my prayers today for every mom exist here today. Please don't give up. Keep raising your children faithfully. Pray for them. Smile and say, Jesus loves you. Every father is here today. You have children, and this is a great privilege. Please be sure to keep raising up your children in a godly way. And when they are looking to your life, their mother life and your life, they will see the lovely person of Jesus. I do believe that every house exists here. It is a small church. And when these churches come together, they are the local church and the body of Christ's church. So let us prepare this lovely church to the second coming of Jesus. Amen. Let us do that. And let's take a minute praying just together. Let's close our eyes. And I do believe that the worship team will come up. I'm not sure, yes, no, or Pastor Steve. But the whole idea to close up our meeting in prayers or worship time, the whole idea right now, the whole idea is, let's take one moment in the presence of the Lord. A quiet moment between you and Jesus, who is calling you and me to live that lovely journey every day with him, to be his disciples, sharing the gospel with the needy people around us. If you feel today that Jesus spoke to your heart today, take a decision to follow him. Take a decision to give him your life, your whole life, your days, your weeks, your month, your years, your family, your children. Take a decision to give him the whole of your heart and make a decision to follow him, to honor his name, and to glorify his name among the nations.